Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, this week I want to talk about South Africa's agricultural and land reform policies. We're now at an important period in South Africa with the seventh administration and new ministers coming into office. And I think that in agriculture, there are some ideas that perhaps the political leadership should consider. But before laying out those ideas, I do want to take a moment and appreciate the progress that as a country we have made 30 years in democracy. The first point to underscore is that this is a sector that has grown enormously over time. Quite remarkably, if you look at South Africa's agricultural economy today, and you look at the volume and the value of this sector, it has more than doubled since 1994. And there are many things that have been catalysts of that progress. But one can single out two aspects. One being the embrace of technology in South African farming sector, both by the private sector and the government. By that I mean the improvement we have made as a country on genetics, which led to higher productivity level, better yields in farming, in livestock and poultry, improvements that we have made in genetics, which have also delivered enormous progress over time. I think that is one part of that progress that we've seen over time. And of course, the private sector invested money to come up with all of these better seed cultivars, better genetics, but that wouldn't have happened without the government also opening up on a legislative side and embracing technology and embracing all of these better seeds and genetics. The South African regulators were very open to that. And that is what has delivered what we see in as far as the output in the sector. But there's also been a demand pull side of that, where the South African government has opened up all of these relationships across the world. Of course, working with the private sector in a number of these markets to ensure that as a country, we can now export to many of the markets, and that has created a demand pool. So in a way, you saw the production increasing domestically. At the same time, there was this demand for South African products in a number of markets to an extent that today we are exporting roughly over half of what we produce in value terms as a country. So this is actually enormous progress if one looks at where we were in 1994 and you are compared with where we are sitting today. In a previous segment before this, if you go and check it out, we were discussing in that segment about the trade progress in the first quarter of 2024. But if you leave the quarterly figures aside and you just go to 2023 and you say, where were South Africa's agricultural exports that year? It was a record $13.2 billion. And the markets were nicely, evenly distributed, where we had nearly 40% or so of the products to the African continent. And you had around about 24% or so to the Middle East and Asia. And you had the EU about 19% or so. And of course, the UK remain one of the important single markets, the Americas and many others. The point is that we have these exports that are well diversified as a country. But of course, as private sector or organized agriculture, we haven't stopped the call to say the South African government must continue to work to ensure that they open as many export markets as possible, because there's a lot more volume of production that is yet to come and that needs to be sent to the export markets. The other important thing when you're looking at South African agricultural products is that even products and even in these exports, they are well diversified. You find fruits in numerous markets like citrus, apples, pears, grapes, and avocados, pears, and many of these fruits going into a range of markets, berries and all types of berries that we produce as a country. But you also find that we have grain, maize going to a range of markets, white maize and yellow maize. Progressively, we are seeing also beef going to a range of markets, wine. The point is that we are diversified on products and well diversified also within the markets that we are exporting to in South Africa. That improvement then, that has more than doubled since 1994. It has also meant that there's still a lot of jobs that are in agriculture, because if you were to ask me now and say how many people are working in the sector, you realize that in primary farming, we have just over 940,000 people that are there working, and in a value chain, there's about just over 400,000 people. So this is a sector that is robust, creating work, participating aggressively in the export markets, but also we see gains on food security. Admittedly, if you were to look at South Africa, there's always cries to say, if we are exporting over half of what we produce, what about the hunger domestically? And the poverty domestically is more of an income poverty question rather than an agricultural question, in my view. Because the prices of products in South Africa are relatively affordable compared with what you see in the world. But of course, then we have millions of households without income, without jobs, and those households, they fall in a very difficult situation. So the social question where we need to respond beyond agriculture to say, how do we address those challenges that we see in our society? But if you jump above that and you look at a national level, because we have food insecurity at a household level, but at a national level as a country, we are food secure. And in fact, in the sub-Saharan Africa region, we're the only African country that is the most food secure. And if you look at the whole continent, we are the second. I think the top is Tunisia when you're looking at the ranking on the Economist Global Food Security Index, and you look at what's going on there, we pretty much rank well. And in the export points that I had made earlier, in the top 40 agricultural exporters, South Africa is the only African country there. We ranked at 32. In terms of the major exporters of agricultural products in the world. So that's just the rough setup of where we are sitting. And of course, you can ask the question, because we are in South Africa here, and say, in transformation, where are we? And I think I've made this point before to say, value chain by value chain, they differ on how many black farmers are at a commercial level progressing and seeing enormous improvement over the years. But quite clearly, if you look at the overall agricultural products, our work shows that black farmers are still making up just under 10% of the overall output. And the most disappointing part, of course, is that that figure hasn't changed much since the 80s, the 70s. If you go back in history and you read the work, you will realize that the numbers still look like that. This is one of the points in my latest book, A Country of Two Agricultures. I tried to lift up this point to highlight why we haven't seen progress, and what should we be doing to actually see more inclusive progress so that the figures look better. And of course, value chain by value chain, the numbers differ, but I think on aggregate, this is what you find when you're looking at the progress of black farmers in South African agricultural sector. So the new administration will have to be cognizant of those things and saying, how do we grow the sector while at the same time we ensure that there's transformation? Because if you talk about the sector that has more than doubled since 1994, but in regards to transformation, the figures are still disappointing. This is something that really bothers many South Africans. But if you use then that as a premise of setting the scene of where the sector is, how conditions are looking at a rough level. And of course, anyone who's not familiar with South African agriculture will have to recognize that this is quite a broad sector with over 36 commodities or value chains that are operating at a commercial level. So many things that are happening in each of those value chains. But if you are coming into office then on the backdrop of that improvements that we have seen over time, what should be the policies that the new administration in agriculture and land, they should be focusing on? I'll summarize this with a few points. But the first point I want to underscore is that there's a lot of thinking, planning that has been done over time. One of the important documents, of course, was the National Development Plan, Chapter 6 of that, dedicated purely to agriculture, to thinking about what should we be doing as the sector to actually ensure that we see progress going forward. And in 2022, the completion of the Agriculture and the Agro-Processing Master Plan, which went into deep dives of each of those commodities, highlighting the problems, the solution, but not only that, they created what we call the commodity corridors, which was very specific on to which areas and regions in South Africa we should be doing what, so that we are able to see the progress in this sector. The broad goal and the narrative of the Master Plan, Agriculture and Agri-Processing Master Plan, was that we want to create a globally competitive and inclusively growing sector. And I think it achieves that. But I think what makes the Master Plan unique from other previous plans was the fact that it was not created by government or some colleagues in the private sector and then imposed on the others. This is a plan that was co-created by all stakeholders. You had a private sector, organized agriculture, business, labor, government, researchers, academia, sitting around the table and thinking about this sector and highlighting where the challenges and highlighting where the opportunities and what interventions need to be made in what value chain, in what regions, to come up with a plan that can actually deliver to an inclusive growth agenda of South Africa. So my sense is that when the new administration comes in, they need not to go back and be recreating and introducing other plans, but rather we should focus on rigorously implementing the Master Plan. Yes, it doesn't satisfy or make everyone in the agricultural sector happy, and I think folks will appreciate that because we are dealing with a range of varied stakeholders. But if we are fair and we are looking at this Master Plan, we will agree that it does move the dial forward from where we are sitting as a sector. And on the backdrop of that, I would argue that we need to give it a chance and actually implement it fully. There are some implementation projects that have been done so far, but not fully captured to measure where the progress is in an appropriate way. And this is something that the new administration needs to do to make sure that there are dedicated people who take stock of what has been done so that we know where the progress is sitting and where we should be intervening with what as the sector. But they will also have to take this Master Plan and rejuvenate it and communicate it effectively across all spheres of government, provincial and at a municipality level. People have to understand this because all of the collaboration that the Master Plan is premised on, the PPPs, will happen at a local level, not just in Pretoria. So the Master Plan should not just be in the minds of people in Pretoria, but it needs to filter through effectively at all spheres of government. And I think this is something that the new minister needs to champion and make sure that he and the senior leadership in the National Department of Agriculture, they socialize this plan across the government and making sure that everyone is excited to actually implement it collectively with the private sector and labor. The other thing that is important that we need to consider, of course, is that, yes, the lack of implementation so far, or scattered implementation perhaps is a correct form of framing it, is that since the publication of it, we were affected by a range of things that moved people's attention away from the Master Plan. Load shedding, animal diseases, and all of those things. But I do think that now, with the framework that we have on the table, it responds to an extent to some of those things. So as the Master Plan is being implemented, we have to pair it with a continuation of blended finance that the department runs with the land bank. That needs to continue, if anything, to be expanded in terms of money that is being put on that, but also stakeholders that are participating in that blended finance to include more private sector so that it has wider reach. So you can have the land bank, but also the private institutions that have a financing arm so that we increase the reach of the farmers. So that's something that the new administration needs to consider. In addition to that, I would list about 8 other aspects that I think are important. The first one, on land reform. I do think that we maintain the policy that it is, but we continue to release the government land to private South African individuals with title deeds, appropriately selected beneficiaries. The South African government had about close to 3 million hectares of land. Minister Didiza, who was the previous minister in the department, released nearly 500,000 hectares of land this year, and you add with some of the programs that she has put in place since she was in office. But I do think that now we have to move aggressively to releasing all the land that the government has under its land holding account to appropriately selected individuals with title deeds for the benefit of commercialization of agriculture so that we create jobs, we strengthen the rural economies. As that land is being released, it has to be paid on for those beneficiaries with their blended finance, but also collaboration with private sector where possible so that skills and the other things are all done appropriately on that. So I think the minister should continue with that, but title deeds should underscore that, and it should be effective and follow the beneficiary selection criteria policy that the department has on selecting who gets to benefit. Animal diseases is a second aspect, because half of our farming economy is actually livestock and poultry. So the animal diseases has been an important thing. There is a ministerial special task team that created a report and wrote this report, submitted it to Minister Didiza. I think the new minister should dust that report off and look at it and see if it needs to be improved, and then implement that and deal with the animal diseases. Agricultural product standards is something else. This deals with this aspect of assignees. They are adding exorbitant costs to businesses, and some of these costs are transported, are transferred to consumers. And I do think that the new minister should look at this thing of the assignees in agriculture under the Agricultural Product Standard Act. He should look at the directorate that deals with this, get a briefing, and make sure that there is some revamping of what's happening there, because there's a lot of unhappiness about that. And the minister, as they travel across the country, they will sense that sentiment. So they need to attend to that. Along with Registrar of Act 36, there's improvements there that are being made, capacitation and collaboration with private sector. But I still think that we can do more there, because that Act 36 is responsible for registering all of these new agrochemicals, agricultural products, fertilizers, all of these things that we need to boost the productivity of the sector. And the new minister should listen to what the private sector say, listen to what the colleagues in the department say. But at the end of the day, we need to modernize that, because that act hasn't been modernized since the 70s. So that's something that we need to look at. The collaboration with another new minister at the DTIC is going to be important, going back to the Irma earlier points about exports, exports, exports. So this is something that the new Minister of Agriculture needs to focus on broadening the exports. But not only just broadening the exports, we need to realize that the geopolitics are changing. So we need to try to work to retain the markets that we have while we are opening up other new markets. So I would think this is something important that should be the focus. At the end of the day, this is not just going to be a straw thing, but we do need to work also with those that are in the logistic industry, the Transnets, the municipalities to maintain roads, the ports. All of these are necessary for achieving the export growth as a country. Another collaboration that is going to be important is with the Department of Water and the Sanitation, because there, the improvements of policy, but also the infrastructure on the water side, is something that we have to ensure that there's a sensible collaboration there to support the sector. And I think the new Minister of Agriculture will have to put that thing also on their list of activities. Rural crime, working with the police to ensure that we deal with that, is something that is important. Stock theft and other forms of crime, they undermine the investments, and they affect also quite acutely even the new entrant farmers that do not have resources to ensure that they have the sufficient security system around them. That's going to be something that will be important. But I think beyond that, the minister will have to also make sure that they collaborate with the Treasury and the Presidency to ensure that the interventions that are made under Operation Vulindlela, they continue, because those Operation Vulindlela interventions, they begin to deal with the network industry inefficiencies. And we want to see improvement on the network industries so that it supports the growth and the progress in agriculture that we so desire. So in a way, I don't think that there's a need for introduction of new policies, but rather taking stock of what is on the table, amending where there's necessary, updating where there's necessary, but focusing on relentless implementation. That's something that is going to have to be the focus of the minister. But I think beyond these policies, another aspect within the Department of Agriculture is strengthening the statistics. The Department of Agriculture has to make sure that in its research and the statistical division or directorate, we are on top of the game there, because that statistics is what we use to guide our program planning, our policy thinking, and also getting a sense of where the sector is going. So I do think that we need to strengthen the capacity on the statistics. That can be done in collaboration with StatsSA, BFAP, and many others to ensure that we have a solid research and statistics and economic insights in the Department of Agriculture. That's very, very important. So the minister, as they are doing other aspects, at the end, at the core, that statistic division is the one that will assist them in getting a sense of what's happening and to whether these interventions that they are accelerating are delivering to their core objectives that have been set forward. So in a way, that's the menu of the options that I think should be considered in the Department of Agriculture. No need of new policies, no need of introduction of many grand programs, but rather a relentless implementation on what we have on the table right now. And with that, folks, let me stop there. My name is Wandi Lesihlobo, an agricultural economist based in Pretoria. And I want to thank people and close this without saying that for deeper insights of all of this, I recommend that you buy my book, A Country of Two Agricultures, because it begins to tell that historical story as well as with deeper insights, what needs to be happening going forward. So the new minister must read the book. Thanks, folks, for listening. Read more about what we write in my blog. Link for it is in the description of this podcast. Follow us on social, Wandi Lesihlobo, across all social media, and also Mkokeli Podcasts. You can check them out across all socials. Thanks for listening.